Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 is a written record of something that actually happened. This is not a made-up story. This happened a long time ago, but it was true and factual, and as it's recorded in God's Word, is exactly how this happened. Now, most folks know this account as Daniel in the lion's den. I'm sure there's a better title. But that's how we were taught, most of us as children, or how we learned. But we're going to start and just go verse by verse through this and see what it says. Daniel 6, verse 1 begins, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom." You know, God lets some men have some temporary rule and reigning over His creation. It's brief, and it's just a little time, but He does it now and again. And it was Darius's turn over this kingdom he had. He's just a man, and he'll just rule for a time. But look at verse 2. "And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first." Darius was the top dog, but he set up three presidents. Excuse me. "And Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them," unto the presidents, "and the king should have no damage." Now, let me tell you what that says in plain language. Darius knew that all these princes and important officials and stuff, if they got half a chance, they would steal from him. They would corrupt the law. They would do what was best for them instead of what was best for Darius. Does that sound familiar? Nothing's changed, has it? Since Darius' day, it's still that way here. But God holds all men and women accountable. And God keeps evil men in check this very way. He showed Darius, you know, you're not such a perfect guy. And all these people under you, if they get a chance, they're going to take from you. They're going to steal. Look at verse 3. "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Do you see those two words? What set Daniel apart from the others? He had an excellent spirit. There is one way among many to recognize God's people. You know what they have that other folks don't have? They have an excellent spirit. You say, how's that work? Well, they tend to be gracious and kind. They tend to be truthful. They have integrity. You know, folks who fuss and fight and lie and connive and are always trying to figure the angles and this kind of thing. What's wrong with them? They don't have that excellent spirit. But God's people do, and that's why they're gracious. They have an integrity. They have a work ethic. They're honest. They're faithful. They get after it. And it's because God puts that in His people. And it's one way you can... It helps us sometimes as believers to recognize one another that way. And on the other hand, when somebody's not that way, now listen, we're all capable of anything. But let's pray for one another that God would give us more of this excellent spirit. All that leads to so many good things. And, you know, a major goal of the believer is that others find no fault. And that's what it said here. Daniel behaved in such a way that the king, when he was looking at all these presidents and princes, and he said, you know, something different about Daniel. There's something different about him. And Can't find any fault in him. Can't find anything wrong. What's that sound like? You remember that being said when those fellows brought the Lord Jesus Christ before the judge Pilate, and they made all these accusations and accused him of this, that, and the other? What did the judge say? Pilate said, I can't find any fault in him. There's nothing wrong with this man. I don't know why you got him here. Oh, that they'd say that about us. Wouldn't that be grand? But that drew, you'll see how important this is later, that drew Darius to Daniel. This excellent spirit. I know God can always and everything find fault with us because of our sin. Everything we touch is contaminated. However, God's people, listen to this, don't behave a certain way so God will save us. No, we only behave a certain way because God has saved us. The only reason any of us have any of this excellent spirit in us is because God has saved us. Then God gives this excellent spirit after he saves his people. And look in verse 5, what happened next? I'm sorry, verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. They were jealous of him concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Gee whiz, what an accusation that might be made about us. You know his problem. You know what your problem is? Sunday morning you're in church twice. Sunday night you're in church. Wednesday night you're always going to these conferences and stuff. You just worship God too much. That's what they said about Daniel. These princes were mad at him. And they couldn't find anything wrong that he did except that he spent too much time worshiping his God, the true and living God. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against him, against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. I don't think you'd have to look that far to find my fault. But Daniel apparently conducted himself in such a way that when examined by all these men who wanted to do him in, and they just went, there's nothing wrong with him, except he just worships his God too much. Then these evil and envious men thought to set a trap for Daniel. They had identified the only way they knew how. And look what happened in verse 6. Then these presidents and princes, they assembled together to the king and said thus unto King Darius, King, live forever. And I think Brother Dale used to say, don't ever let somebody flatter you to your face. That's a good saying. When somebody comes to you and go, wow, you're just the best person I ever met. Look out. Look out. And that's what these fellas did. And poor old Darius, bless his heart, not like he didn't get enough attention or something. But they came in there saying, oh, King, live forever. You're just so wonderful. And he bought it. Look what happened in verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains. Notice everybody's in on this. Except for the grace of God, we'd be in on it too. We've consulted together to establish a royal statute. Make a law to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days... save of thee, unless they're asking you, O King, live forever. If they ask anything else of anybody else, O King, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, what's this about? You know, we've got laws, and we've got police, and we've got military, and we've got courts and jails and things. And when somebody does something, They arrest him and they put him in jail and they come before the judge and they make the accusation. They have a trial and they bring witnesses, and they do it. You know how it worked back then? King Darius told some fellas, dig me a big pit down here. And this pit was about 15 feet by so many feet. And he said, send some fellas down to Africa there and bring me back a pile of lions. And they come back with 15, 20 lions. And he said, put them in the pit. They said, fine, okay, they did. And he said, make a lid for it so they don't come out, and make it deep enough they can't just jump out. And then the first time somebody came in front of Darius and they said, they caught this fellow stealing from this widow over here. And you know what Darius said? Is that true? A bunch of them said, yeah. He said, throw him in the pit. That was justice. He was the absolute sovereign king. What he said, that's what was done. And these fellows came and said, oh, king, live forever. Anybody who asks anybody anything anywhere for anything except you, we'll throw them in the pit. He said, sounds good to me. It was signed and decreed and sealed. That's the law. Folks, let me tell you, we're making a lot of laws in this country and all over the world and everything else. Here's the law. We got it, don't we? Everybody knows the law. And it's going to be true. If you break the law, there's one punishment. It's just like in Darius's day. When the time comes, open the books. If you've broken the law, we got one pit to put you in. This is pretty serious, isn't it? What we're living through. Look here. Verse 6, then the presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and they said to him, O live forever. And they all came up with this decree in verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it might not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Once it's signed, it can never be changed. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. They appealed to the vanity of Darius, and they tricked him into signing this decree for an evil purpose, which we'll see. Have you got verse 10? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, poor old Daniel, you think he's the head, next to the king, he's the head dog. You think he didn't know what these fellows were up to? You think he didn't know about this before it went down? He did. Verse 10, now Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and he went to his house. What did he do? And his windows being open, as they always were in his chamber, open towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Wait a minute now. These fellas just set me up. It says up there Daniel knew, doesn't it? These fellas set me up, and yet he went home and prayed and gave thanks. Yes, he did. Daniel knew. But let me tell you who else knew. God knew. If we think for a minute God doesn't know what these other guys are all about, or those who are after us or would do us wrong, or if he doesn't know the things we're thinking. Children, God knows what we're thinking. Right now, he knows what we're thinking. Every one of us. He does. Be assured, no one ever set about some evil purpose towards Christ and his people that God is not fully aware. He knows. He knows their plan and their purpose and their intent before they ever know it. And be assured, God has, you know what he's already done? He's already got the solution ready too. He's got the solution ready before the plot was hatched, before evil men can bring about their purpose. So what did Daniel do? The same thing we should do when a trial comes. You know what that is? Get down on our knees and pray and give thanks. That's pretty tough. Doesn't matter whether it sounds tough or not, it's what we ought to do. That's what this is teaching us. You know there's trouble We all know about trouble, don't we? Everybody knows about trouble. You kids know about getting in trouble? Yeah, you know about it, don't you? It doesn't seem to take much, does it? Huh? It's real easy to get in trouble. All you got to do is just open your mouth a little bit. You know, one of your parents says, do this, and you go, huh? Uh-oh. Now we got trouble, don't we? It doesn't take much to get in trouble. We all know about trouble. But listen to me now. There's trouble, and then there's real trouble. Real trouble. Mm-mm. These are two different things. Daniel, right now, he's in real trouble. He has broken the king's law. What's he do? The same thing we ought to do when we get in trouble. Get on our knees and pray and give thanks. I tell you what, kids, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. When you're in trouble, you want to know the best thing to do? The absolute best, I don't care how big the trouble is, the best thing you can do, if you're in trouble with your dad or your mom, the minute it comes to light, look up at your mom and go, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm really sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I won't do that anymore. It'll go further than just about anything else you can do. And I tell you what, too, you're not too young, no matter how small or great the trouble seems. You're really not too young to ask God to help you. You're not too young to pray and say, Father, help me with this. Help me. I'm sorry I did it. I know it's wrong. Help me with it. It's okay. And us adults, that lesson applies to us. We get ourselves in all kinds of trouble, don't we? All no matter how hard we try not to, we get ourselves in trouble. And when we do, ask God to forgive us and to help us and give thanks that He's brought it our way, because the only problem is we don't know yet for what purpose. Well, let's see what purpose it was with Daniel. In verse 11, we read, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Well, they thought they got him now. And they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Here's what they said. Hast thou not signed a decree, O king, that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Folks, don't be surprised when people figure out that you worship the true and living God. They'll hate you for it. They'll despise you for it. They'll want to do you in for it. I'm sorry. Do you see what they... Can you get the venom in that, O king, live forever? That Daniel. That Daniel. You know what that reminds me of? When our Lord Jesus Christ was on trial, he hadn't done a thing. And the judge turns to the Jews and they go, that man. We'll not have him reign over us. That man. Now, do we see nothing changes? And that's what's a picture of here. Look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Well, they'd sprung the trap, hadn't they? And this earthly king, you know, another illustration for you kids is, you know, it's one thing to, we used to call it play a trick on somebody. But you kids call it what? Pranking somebody? Is that the term you use? You prank somebody? You know, it's one thing to kind of prank each other. And I would counsel you not to be cruel about that, and don't embarrass one of your other friends at school and stuff, and then those things can be hard to get over. But I know it happens, and the consequences usually aren't much. But let me ask you kids this. What if you pranked your teacher? How's that going to work? I think we're moving from trouble towards real trouble, aren't we? But what if you kids were to not prank a friend or prank your teacher, but to prank the principal of the school? Ooh. Oh, wow. Now we're talking real trouble, aren't we? I'll tell you, these poor guys didn't understand the princes and the powerful and all the captains and everything else. They didn't realize who they were pranking. I mean, they were trying to pull a fast one on the Almighty King, the one who said, "Throw him in the pit." See verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they had to cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." This king, having made the law, could do nothing to change the law because he had said it can't be changed. And he said, "I would save Daniel, but I can't do it according to my own law." Let me warn you children and adults as well about this. Beware those who want the law applied to you or to others, but not themselves. You know what they are? They're false preachers and they're Pharisees. They're lying to you. They're telling you that if you're good enough, if you just do enough good stuff, God's going to forget about the broken law, the law that we broke. It's a lie. It's just a lie. It's not true. God calls them workers of iniquity. Daniel may have technically broken the law of Darius, but you know what these men were interested in? They were trying to humiliate the king. They wanted Daniel to fall. Who do you think would be next on the list? Darius. That was their real problem. It wasn't with Daniel. It was with Darius. And in our day, the problem is not with anything but the God who reigns. Verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. What made Darius say this about Daniel? He said, thy God, deliver thee. Apparently, you see, Daniel had been talking to Darius. And you know who he was talking, not of what he was talking to him about. It was who he was talking about. Daniel, when he had an opportunity, would say, "Darius, I worship the true and living God." He said simple things to Darius that made Darius understand, I'm in trouble in a way, and Daniel is in a way that we can't fix this. I can't fix it, even though I'm almighty in my little realm. I can't fix this. Only God can. Oh, that we might come to the place where we reach that place where I can't do anything about the mess I'm in. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unless God does something for me, I can't be helped. So Daniel goes into the pit. What does King Darius do? Look at verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. What can we do when a brother or sister in Christ is in trouble?
in real trouble?
What can we do when we're in real trouble? What can we do? What can we do? I would suggest that we do the same thing Darius did here. He did three things. Do you know what he did? It says here that he passed the night fasting. Are we not pretty much consumed with what we eat next? Huh? Anybody skip breakfast? Maybe a few of you. No, we go to bed thinking about it. We can go to get up thinking about it. Anybody here thought about lunch yet? Maybe we could stop that fast just for a little bit. And then the next thing he did was, we could turn off the TV or the computer, couldn't we? He went without music that night. Apparently he liked it. He enjoyed it. That's probably the best they had in the way of entertainment back then. Maybe we could do that. And then maybe we could do what he did. He went most of the night without sleeping. He was praying to God to deliver Daniel. And we could sit or lay in the night for a time and beg our God to have mercy on our dear sister or brother in Christ who's in real trouble. Y'all, there's some of you here right now in real trouble, aren't you? I don't know. I may not know about it. And it's okay, to let our brethren know about it when we're in some real trouble, when we need their prayers and their wishes and their help. It's okay. It's okay. That's what this is teaching here. But then look at the night passed in verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee? Do you see that term, lamentable voice? I can't picture this perfectly, but that king, when the time, apparently there was it had to go around the clock. And when the sun came up, he could go to Daniel, to the den, and have him get the stone out of the way. And he cried with a lamentable voice. He said, Daniel! Daniel! Daniel, are you alive down there? Daniel! Oh, that we could cry for one another like that. That we cared enough about each other. That we could cry out to our God, have mercy on my friend who's in trouble. Oh, have mercy. Daniel, somebody here's in real trouble. Let us know so we can cry before our God for help for you. Well, what happened? Verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Now, those other fellows were like, O king, live forever. Daniel was like, O king, live forever. I know who put me in this pit, and I know who's kept me alive while I'm in the pit, and I know who's fixing to get me out of the pit. And look, and verse 22, maybe my favorite verse in all this. Daniel said, My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. They didn't. I'm down here with them, these lions, and they didn't do a thing to me. So they didn't hurt me in any way or shape. Why is that? Daniel said, My God, he sent his angel. My God shut the lion's mouths. My God, he wouldn't let them hurt me. My God found innocency in me. My God has caused them to do no hurt or harm to my king, my God. God the Father sent God the Son to shut the mouths of our accusers. When the day comes, you come before God. They open the books. We know that book's full of all my sins, things I've done. You know what we need? Somebody to shut that mouth. Somebody to close that book and say, it's taken care of. You know who can do that? The Lord Jesus Christ. When he went up Calvary, that's what he did. He took care of every single one of those. And there's nobody who can go, well, open the book and see what it says about him. Because when you open it, it says, oh, he's with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's with his God. You accuse him of going, my God took care of that. My God's already taken care of that. Daniel went into the lion's den guilty, but he came out having the consequences of his sin satisfied. That angel, he said there was an angel in there with me. You know who that was? That angel was the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Daniel? Listen to me. Daniel knew how to recognize him. You know how I know that? Because he was around when those three fellows, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oh, they broke a king's law too, didn't they? And what did they do with them? They threw them in a fiery furnace. And do you know what that king said? He looked in there and went, whoa, there's not one or two or three. There's four fellows in there. There's four men in that furnace. And when those fellows came out, you know who they said was in there with them? An angel by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read the book of Revelation, the proof of it is that when the ones who went there and saw Christ on his throne, you know one way they recognized him? They are told about him. John said, you know, there was a lot to say, but his feet looked like they'd been burned in a fire. Why was that? Because they had. He went in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like he went in to the pit with the lions and Daniel. Verse 23, read it. Then said the king, then was the king exceedingly glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's glad for us too, just like the king was. And we should be glad and thankful. Our King, Jesus Christ, he's exceedingly glad for us because Daniel believed in his God. Look at the last line of verse 23. Because he believed in his God. Notice this. Daniel did not cry out or start believing God when he found out he was going to get thrown into the pit. No. God prepares his people long before the trouble comes. Faith and believing is not given when trials come. It's just revealed. He reveals it. Long before the trouble, this real trouble, God had revealed Christ to Daniel so that when the time came, Daniel knew exactly who his hope was in when he was cast into that pit. And it went something like this. Daniel, the king says, put him in the pit. And they put Daniel into that pit and covered it up, and the sun goes down. And Daniel, I don't know whether he just stood there or he sat down or what happened. But we have to realize at some point, Daniel opens his eyes and here's what he sees. He sees a 900-pound lion. Big maned, whoever the boss lion was down there looking at him. He goes, I don't like that sight. And he turns over here and looks, and here's three 700-pound females, maybe with cubs, and they're just looking at him. And then Daniel turns again, and there's lions everywhere. But suddenly he realizes that he sees something. At first we see the lions. All of a sudden, Daniel goes, there's somebody between me and all these lions. There's a person down here with me, between me and all these lions. You know what that person was doing? He was standing there making the lions keep their mouth shut. There wasn't a lion in the place that roared at Daniel. Not a one. Not a one of them. You ever seen that movie company that roared, the big lion and the thing he grabbed? Didn't happen in the lion's den. They could not open their mouths. Now, do we know who that person was down there with Daniel? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we ever come into the same place Daniel was, which was the judgment of God come to bear, we want that same person between us and our trouble. And we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. Because Daniel said, my God sent his angel. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ into that pit with me, for me. And so nothing happened to Daniel. He was safe and secure. And we are eternally in Christ. If we've seen him, that's all we need, is to know him. So did these evil men get away with this, trying to destroy Daniel and trying to over-trick the king? Look at verse 24. This is kind of hard to read, but it's the end of the story. And the king commanded, and they brought these men who had accused Daniel. What did they do with them? Oh, they cast them into the pit. But it's worse than that. They cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces over ever they came to the bottom of the pit. I tell you, it's terrible that folks let their children not come here. Don't we think we would see how important it is? Bring your children. Bring them as if their life depended on it. It does. It really does. Their very life depends on you bringing them here so that they can know the one who was in the pit with Daniel, as you know him. That's why we come, is to worship Christ, to see Christ, to hear about him again and again. And I tell you, this group's been around long enough to where, have you seen the third and fourth generation yet on occasion? It's a good thing to bring. When God wraps up this earth and this world as we know it, there'll be two things that'll be happening. Christ will be glorified, and God's people will be rescued, delivered, and will rest in Christ's glory. And here's the end of the story, Romans, verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom that men tremble and fear, not before me. Did you catch all that in the early part of this? Who everybody was afraid of? It was Darius. Everybody came into Darius's company and said, oh, king, live forever. And in their heart they're going, man, I hope I said the right thing. I hope he's not mad at me. And what is Darius saying here? That I make this decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear, not before me, but before the God of Daniel. You know, that God, he is God. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I realize that we want our children to prosper, don't we? We want each other to prosper, okay? But the world's measure of prosperity is not the measure of this book. Prosperity in this book, in the kingdom of heaven, is that we know Christ and him crucified. And that's what we ought to spend our time teaching our children and doing. And that's what we're doing here this morning, is trying to get another glimpse of the God of heaven, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think a better title than Daniel in the Lion's Den might be Jesus Christ saves Daniel from the lions. Okay. I appreciate being here and seeing all y'all. Appreciate Frank having me. Okay.
It's been a good morning. Thank you, Bob, for bringing those two messages. Let's turn, stand and sing 256. Trust Christ. It is well with your soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Listen now, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, and Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend.